Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and today's podcast is going to be fascinating. We are going to talk to two amazing founders, Allison Conrad and Jay Small. They're co-founders of Array. This is the first proactive and functional beauty brand to target aging hair, and Array is just a supercharged, high-functioning formula. It's really going to help with hair longevity, and it's really breakthrough science. So I'm so delighted to have you both here. Allison has a background as an entrepreneur and received her MBA from Stanford University, ran a beauty brand, and has now launched this amazing hair brand. And Jay is a trichologist. He's a certified trichologist with the World Trichology Society with over 20 years of experience. He's a very highly sought after hairstylist. And I think this is going to be a fascinating podcast. I was just telling them that this is my year of obsessing about hair. Welcome to the podcast, Allison and Jay. Jason.
Oh, thank you for having us. You can call me Jay. I had a barber once that called me Brian. Not a big deal.
So. I said Jason on your Zoom screen. So I was like, Jay, Jason? Jay is fun. Jay and Kate.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us on. Love to share more and love that you're on this kind of year-long hair journey. You have beautiful hair yourself. So, you know, in our world, preservation is key. So, you know, preserving what you have would be excellent.
So how did you two meet and get connected to form this company called Array?
Yeah, it very much came from a personal experience. Jay's been my hairstylist for the past 10 years. So it was really, you know, seeing gray hair, not being very happy about it, wanting to do something proactive. I was doing all these things for my skincare regimen. I was looking into Botox proactively, using every hyaluronic acid retinol cream under the sun that I could get my hands on, getting laser facials, exercising, eating well, doing so many things to age as gracefully as possible. And for hair, I was really, you know, faced with no options in gray except for accept the gray or dye the gray. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, there's plenty of hair loss options, but I wasn't personally experiencing hair loss. I was really focused on the color change. And so that led us on this journey of figuring out a solution for myself. And then, you know, Jay, knowing that there's many other people like myself that are feeling the same way and wanting something to do proactively and preventatively rather than reactively.
And I think a big part of it was I 20 years with clients, I had developed these relationships that were more than just a client and a stylist, but these were friendships. And I knew a lot about Allison. I knew that she, you know, was an entrepreneur, had two kids, was really healthy and proactive in all other elements of her life. So to recommend using a hair dye, for example, on her every 6 weeks. And then as it gets more progressed, every 5 weeks and every 4 weeks and every 3 weeks, just seemed like I knew that she was going to be upset with me at some point. So in the beginning, I was like, hey, listen, let's just hold off on this and or embrace, right? So that was kind of where I was left as a stylist with not many options. And my training had never really given me any other kind of conclusion as to why we were going gray. I think we all assumed it was primarily genetic. And then we started to dig in more, and I'll let you
dig in there. Yeah, I think we were pretty shocked to find out there's only one gene that causes gray, and it accounts for about 30% of why we go gray. So it's not the whole story. There's a whole host of nutritional deficiencies that can result in graying hair, and oxidative stress we encounter all the time from sun exposure, right? It's not just affecting your skin, it's affecting your scalp and your hair. Smoking is one that is also a really bad thing for not only your health, but also for graying hair. And so around the same time, my dad is our medical advisor. He's an internal medicine doctor and a clinical pharmacologist. And he had found an article through NIH linking increased risk of cancer from at-home hair dye use. So we really thought, man, we think this industry is going to change a bit. And you know, we're also, we want people to seek out healthier ways to dye their hair. Box at home hair dye is kind of the scariest way, but there's other ways that you can deal with gray hair. We wanted to give people a little bit more control, a little bit more feeling of having the ability to do something proactively. So that's what led us to the supplement. That was our first product that we developed with a chemical engineer from MIT. My mom's a dietitian, so that helped as well. And then it was really testing the product on Jay's clientele at first and then launching to the public.
Amazing. Well, can you talk a little bit about that gene? You mentioned that there's one major gene for hair color.
So it's called the IRF4 gene. And what it essentially does is it down-regulates the production of an enzyme called tyrosinase. Mm-hmm. And the way that this then affects your pigment is it slows down the pigment production, but it doesn't mean that if you are, you know, predisposed to this gene that you have to, you know, go gray and that's the inevitable truth. You know, actually, we were quite surprised, but, you know, with the amount that it accounts for kind of in the landscape of what can cause depigmentation and graying, you know, from our clinical study, we actually found that, you know, our system, which is our supplement and our serum combined, it had effectiveness on 88% of the people in the active group. And so what that means is it potentially as effective on someone that is carrying the IRF4 gene in their genetic, you know, disposition? Maybe not, but it doesn't mean that if you have this, you can't. Now, personally, you know, I heard Dr. Bauman talk about this on one of your last podcasts that I listened to, but he was talking about his father being fully bald and his grandfather having, you know, pattern baldness. And so I think, you know, you mentioned how he has such a great head of hair. For me, my father and my grandfather were pretty much white. But also there's a lot of factors, right? They were both heavy smokers and drinkers and did things that potentially weren't necessarily the best for their long-term health, which has a factor. And I think a lot of us assume that, oh, my mom and my dad were this way. We look at the genetic component, but we don't look at the lifestyle component and what the similarities are and what we can differ about that moving forward.
That's so important. I think people assume their DNA is determinative, but it's actually 80% of your aging is the epigenetic influence of the world and the environment on your genes, and 20% is the genes. It's, you can really change how your genes express. So that sounds like what your product is doing, in terms of like, so you have, maybe you have a deficiency of a gene, but maybe you can amplify its activity with these various antioxidants and supplements.
Well, and I think to that same point, you know, what we also have to remember is that hair is non-essential, right? Yeah. Hair is there to protect against some sunlight and to regulate body temperature, mm-hmm. but especially then hair pigment is even
it's really not essential.
Yeah. So kind of break down and, you know, delineate this. Like we always, in the beginning, we were looking at it as what is gray hair messaging from the body? Now we hear a lot of talk about premature gray and we know that the variable is early as teens to 20s and as late as 50s to 60s. But regardless, you know, when you're in your late 20s, early 30s, and you're starting to see this, less running to put a, you know, some dye onto it. What are we responding to? What's the body trying to tell us about our nutrient deficiencies or potential exposures to these other things that then get amplified by an oxidative stressor like hair dye?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like an early warning indicator that your body's telling you like, oh, the color's changing. There's a lot of stuff going on in here.
Well, I think we see that though. We notice with clients of mine that, you know, have had a little bit patch of hair loss due to, you know, a stress in their life, mm-hmm. right? Typically that's when they go to the doctor, the stomach ache that they had for 8 months prior, right? Yeah. Didn't get them there, but the aesthetic change is what's going to trigger us. So,
I read somewhere that people who get gray early in life often have had acute exposures to severe bouts of stress. And also I was talking to some of my clients are performers and singers. So, funny, I had Becky G in the office and she and I were both complaining about how our hair started to go gray at such a young age. And we were both like, it's kind of like the performance stress of get up there on the stage and you get this jolt of like, you have to be so intense and stressed. And that's like when I'm in surgery or those kind of things. So people who have those repeat exposures to sudden stress and high stress, it's very common. Is there an age where you should start proactively worrying and caring about how to nourish hair so it doesn't prematurely gray? What age should we start this process?
We always say it's less age and more like the first gray hair that you find. Like that should be your indication, you know, ideally before that, but we also realize a lot of young people who have so much optimism and are like, I'm not going to go gray. It's not going to happen to me. It's like, you kind of have to feel that initial first pain mm-hmm. point of like, okay, this is happening. But we always say that should be the moment you think of adding to your hair regimen. You know, we're doing so many things for the skin, proactively before we see wrinkles or age spots and or like loss of elasticity. You know, we want what skincare was 10 to 15 years ago, we want hair care to be now. And, you know, you can substitute. We have a shampoo and conditioner that you can, that's an easy swap that you already use. And then there's the additional steps that we think are pretty easy to put into your routine of taking a supplement and using a hair serum. But as you go through this process, you need to add to your hair care regimen.
So as soon as that first patch of gray arises and we try to dye it, are we actually increasing the amount of damage that the follicle goes through and then triggering more graying?
Yeah. So what I started to notice was the people who I was seeing, two things, right? You start to use hair dye and then the frequency starts to become more frequent, right? Mm-hmm. So, I have 10 grays that I'm covering. Well, now I have 20. So I need to come in a little sooner because the root is a little bit strong. Right. And what people don't realize is that the chemical reaction of a hair dye is you have a dye and then you have an accelerant. And for those who have coarse texture, higher quantities of gray, you need a larger accelerant. Right. And that accelerant could be the equivalent of like, oh, OK, I'm going to knock on the door. They'll let me in, or I'm going to kick the door down. The level of repair or the pace of repair of the scalp after color exposure is what's going to be varied. So if you're doing gray coverage, you know, every 4 weeks, you have this timeline after where it could be a several days up to a week where your scalp is just trying to regulate and repair and balance the, you know, free radicals that have been the result of this stress. And then if you go around and do that 4 weeks later, you're having it happen again. And it doesn't just affect the pigment. It also affects the general density and the growth factors. And I know, again, not to reference back to another podcast that you had, but, you know, we realize how sensitive the hair follicle is and, you know, the amount of cellular activity that these follicles have. So, yeah, when we do these kind of stressful endeavors, whether it's, you know, being in a little bit of sun for a longer period of time without any UV protection or, you know, using hair dye, this can have a long lasting effect.
Yeah, but I will say we also have products to help mitigate that. So we have, it's called Calm It Down. It's a post hair dye serum that you can use. We did a clinical study on it and it was relief within 15 minutes from the irritation from hair dye. And then we always say a great analogy is, you know, hair dye is like Botox and our products are like wrinkle cream, retinols, SPF, the daily things you do to maintain your hair. So we're not here to listen. It's a personal choice. Everybody can live their lives. Some people are not comfortable with showing any gray hair and want to dye. That's okay. You can use this in conjunction to help prolong the time between hair dye and just have your fabric of your hair be improved.
And you know, always prioritize professional relationships. Yeah. It's the same way that, you know, Dr. K, there's things that you're going to do in office or different creams or different treatments that you are going to be able to perform that are going to be best under your supervision. And hair dye is one of those things. So the fact that 78% of people are using hair dye at home, that's more what we're trying to help kind of curb. We want you to use, you know, great ingredients that are, you know, healthy and balanced and with professional guidance.
Calibrated specifically to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there particular dyes? You were mentioning the box dye is the very, very worst. So what do you recommend if people are going to dye their hair so their follicles don't take so much of a beating?
You know, the biggest thing actually is it's less about the dye product and it's more about the developer, the accelerant that I spoke of that you choose. So Commonly we are all, you know, accustomed to knowing like 5, 10, 20, 30, 40. These are levels of strength in developers. So when you say use a box dye at home, that box dye has to make Dr. K, Allison, and myself all the same color of chestnut blonde or chestnut brown, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to do that, it has to have a higher chemical payload in order to keep that consistent amongst all the users. But when you go to a salon, the stylist can say, well, you know, Jay, you probably don't need as much as Dr. K to get the same result. And so they can, like Allison was saying, calibrate the developer. So it's less about the dye and what you're choosing. And it's more about saying to your stylist, hey, do I need to cover my whole head? Do I need to use 20 volume developer? Can you put some in a foil? You know, like there's these elements of questioning that we can do that can make any color safer.
Interesting. It almost sounds like I should get an IV glutathione and NAD infusion right around the time of hair dye, right? That
Well,
should be a
that's
new trend we should start,
yeah,
Jay.
no, I mean, I think it's like, and it's funny because we laugh, but when we started to launch, like Alice was saying, calm it down, you know, I started to talk to clients about it, and they're like, you know what? My scalp is pretty irritated after I do hair dye. We are accustomed to it. Just like Allison says, oh, if I use this cream and I don't feel a little bit of a tingle, it's not working. Well, I think that is where, you know, we want people to, you know, be able to talk to anybody, you know, about their first gray, not just me when it's actually 100 of them. And we want them to say, hey, actually, this is irritating my scalp. Can we do something different?
Now, a little bit about the role of the mitochondria and the oxidative stress and loss of melanin. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's happening in the hair
Yeah.
follicle?
I think the big thing is like we spoke about earlier is again, the hair is non-essential, right? So when we are consuming high amounts of processed foods, we're intermittent fasting, we're not eating a well-balanced diet, we're not using any type of supplementation for us. Array is an inside out and an outside in approach. We have topical treatments that can act like a jumper cable to make it more layman to the hair follicle itself through the scalp. But then we also have a supplement called Not Today Gray, which is the fuel that is going to provide the B vitamins and the calcium and the iron and the essential things for blood circulation, cell turnover, and like you said, mitochondrial activity so that these cells have the energy to continue to produce. And along with that, we realize that antioxidants, we're all depleted of antioxidants and not getting nearly what we need just based on the lifestyle that we live, or the foods that we consume. So the antioxidants are a really important step in balancing kind of the daily stressors and the lifestyle stressors that we face. And so, you know, we realize too that if, you know, the cells at other parts of your body are deficient, you know, again, we have to make sure that this supplement goes in and helps the whole body holistically. And then the result of that over time, some people will say, well, how long does it take to see results? It really depends on the level of deficiency. It depends on how many things you've been exposed to. But we do see people start to see results within 2 to 3 months, with then the rate of hair growth continuing at 6 months. That's really the optimal point where the body's balanced and the hair is really at a healthy place.
So in let's talk ingredients. What do you think are the target best antioxidants that are in the Array formula that actually have to help to change the hair patterns?
So I would call out first off black sesame extracts, which is so when we were formulating with this, you know, kind of early group, it was really about looking at these kind of vitamins and minerals from Western medicine and then looking into traditional Eastern medicine techniques that had, you know, shown you know, different forms of hair health or pigmentation or just overall vitality. So black sesame extract was a really powerful one. Faux tea. Selenium is another, and you know that's what's inside of the supplement itself. And then when we go topically, we actually have about 11 antioxidants that are going to work in two different components. One are going to target free radicals, and the other are actually going to help with the absorption. So I know you spoke about on previous episodes like red light therapies and the Ted Alma machine and different ways to improve the absorption. So we actually have about five antioxidants that work specifically with absorption to make sure that that tissue can accept the clinically effective peptide and the other antioxidants that are needed.
So fascinating. So once you guys stumbled upon this formula, or actually, how many different versions of this formula did you go through with your, research and science team? Allison, did you remember how many iterations before you got the exact right formula?
I think we could look back on the number because the number of our formula has the number of iterations. But listen, it wasn't so dramatic because we work with a cosmetic chemist who comes actually from the pharmaceutical world. So she's incredibly knowledgeable, and was super helpful in helping us develop this. We also had another outside cosmetic chemist that Jay's been working with for many, many years. So we had a lot of trusted advisors.
And I'll
Go
state
ahead.
too, no, just, you know, what's interesting, Dr. K, is we didn't really have to look too far because when it came to skincare, a lot of what we did is we found these kind of effective ingredients, but then we looked to skincare research and applied that to scalp care. And I know that that's a buzzword that we've seen, but really we were trying to better understand how, you know, skincare takes these effective ingredients and gets them to the subcutaneous tissue and to the areas of the hair follicle where they can be effective. And so it was a bit of looking to our left and saying, okay, well, what's happening over here? And then working with this cosmetic chemists to obviously identify, you know, the most effective ingredients as well.
Yeah. And all of the ingredients we include for the gray had clinical backing themselves. So we knew that we were using effective ingredients to put into the formula and then having our own clinicals to validate the ingredients and the products together. So yeah, I think it's this fine balance between if you have too many iterations, there's probably something you're not doing right. And if you have too little, you probably haven't tested enough. So it's kind of like, where's that perfect balance? And for us too, it was so important to create a product that people enjoy using. So we don't have oils, there's no scent in the serum. We want to make it absorbs very quickly and actually adds volume. So it's kind of a styling tool as well. So it's something we don't want it to feel, even though it's clinically backed, clinically validated, we don't want people to feel it's a clinical thing that they have to do and it feels annoying and frustrating. This should be an enjoyable process. So that's where a lot of Jay's background, working in product development and hair care, is to create products that people will love to use.
I love that. Jay, you're a trichologist. I don't know if the whole audience knows what a trichologist is.
My mom doesn't either. It's fine.
Yeah, I know, but let's explain what is a trichologist and like, how does that change your perspective and your approach to hair care that you have this scientific background?
Yeah. So you know, I started as a hairstylist and I spent about 20 plus years kind of in that. When I was getting asked all these questions that were potentially a little bit too low grade for a dermatologist, but too high grade for potentially a hairstylist to actually understand. And so when we started, you know, kind of looking into the business, I was like, you know, what I want to learn is I want to learn below, you know, in between a hairstylist and a dermatologist, what exists. So trichologist is basically a hair and scalp expert that looks at the, you know, biology and anatomy of the hair follicle, which is where our hair grows from. And then the, unlimited amount of factors, both from a lifestyle perspective or a hormonal perspective, that can affect this. And what are those causation factors that, you know, trigger our hair to change as we age? And so I was able to sign up for this, you know, this course where it took several years. But after learning, you know, far more, it was so interesting because I got to the page about gray hair and they said it's complicated. I'm going to be honest, Dr. K, I was like, man, I really might be onto something, because I didn't tell anybody that I had a hair care company at the time. I wanted to just kind of learn from everybody and not have any bias. And it was really fascinating because, you know, it showed us that there's so much that can be done in this. So to your question about formulation iterations, a lot of our formulation changes are based on new ingredients that came to the market that someone said, hey, you guys are really, you know, capturing an audience and people are trusting you. Have you thought about this? And that'll continue to be our ethos, is finding the best, most effective ingredients and trying to make it not necessarily 100 products, but, you know, these are the 10 that I need to start with. So trichology helps me also do these personal consultations because hair is so intimate and there are, sometimes people don't know who to go to. So I talk about flakes. I talk about loss. I talk about, you know, different hormonal changes and different phases of life through trichology.
Yeah, it is a very intimate connection. There's so much self-confidence and self-esteem connected to our hair. So it's no wonder that it takes like center stage a lot of times. When can patients expect to see results when they get on Array? And do you have to do the serum and the pill together? Or is it just kind of, you can do one or the other?
So we do recommend the supplement and the serum. And I do get this question a lot when I'm like in store with customers. And, you know, obviously, whenever you bring a supplement into your routine, you want to look at what other supplements you're taking. Now, what's great is that this was formulated to be taken alongside of a daily multivitamin and still be within, you know, tolerable limits and safe for the body. But the supplementation is so important when it comes to the fueling of the body. Now, the topicals is, you know, where a lot of people want to start. And like Allison mentioned, we have a shampoo that also contains our patented formula. But the topical is going to be the jumper cable, right? It is going to, you know, make sure that the follicle has what it needs to, you know, upregulate the pigment production. But if it doesn't have the fuel from, you know, to give the cells what it needs to continue to create that, it's going to be in a deficit. Mm-hmm. And we also completed a clinical study where we showed, and we can talk more about the results kind of after this, but basically it was the supplement and serum together, and 88% of people had positive result from that, less gray hair growth, and we can kind of break down those numbers.
Yeah. Oh, 88%. So were you guys ecstatic when you found that you had reversing gray hair? Because that's kind of like, I think I've even dreamed of that, like in high school and college, like, wow, if only I had the ability to change hair back from gray to non-gray, you would just
that's some good foresight, Dr.
King of the world, right?
Yeah, I think that was a really great result. But I think what was even more surprising to us is it was placebo controlled. So in the placebo group, we saw after 6 months, that group had 10% more gray hair than in the start of the study. And then our active group had 13% less gray hair overall over 6 months. So, you know, a delta of 23% between the two groups, and pretty significant, it was very statistically significant change. And we even thought 10% more gray hair over 6 months was more than we expected. Nobody's done a study on how fast your hair goes gray over time. And so it is inevitable. We're aging, you're going to experience more gray hair over time. But if we can slow that process, repigment some, you know, of those that can still be repigmented, that's a huge result. So we were pretty stoked.
And I love, and it, you know, Allison mentioned it, and again, I'm going to call out Dr. Bauman because I love that piece, but he talked about repigmentation with the Ted Alma machine, and it's repigmentation is such an important word versus reversal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. There, I did not put up balloons for that.
Oh my gosh. But
that's so exciting.
But repigmentation is where there is still some of the melanocyte stem cells that are in the bulge region of the follicle. So that's why a hair strand can continue to grow gray, right? Because the body is going to continue to produce hair strands, but we need to have some of those melanocyte stem cells there to stimulate and to bring, you know, further pigment from. So it is so important to see it as repigmenting, right? I have this one white hair, but there's likely hairs around them that are in the graying phases at 10, 20, 30, 40%. That's where I like to look up close and personal at people. And you'll even see, and I'm sure you've seen it too, where there's some follicles that have multiple hair strands. And so if you have a follicle that has one that's white, one that's brown, it still means that there is pigment available in that. It's just not enough to, you know, give it to both hair strands. And so we want people to realize like what's possible, but, you know, also kind of dig in with us and get past 3 months and 6 months and get to a year where you're not thinking about your hair in a negative. You're like, you're kind of proud of what you've grown and what you've shown.
Yeah. And we also saw in the study, people had thicker, fuller, shinier, softer hair. So this is not just about the gray. It's really about hair in general, hair wellness, hair longevity. And your hair doesn't age just in one way, just like your skin doesn't age in one way. So there's many changes that happen to the hair as we age. And we were very excited to see that this can help with much more than just the gray.
I think this is really exciting. This should be like a birthday present that you should give to someone you really love. You give them a year of hair growth treatment.
Well, it's so funny.
Or like a Mother's Day thing. Something like, don't get me flowers anymore. This is
Mother's Day is one of our biggest important days. It's really interesting.
Well, and for so many years, like, I don't think people would say, like, you know, right. A lot of times we wait till we go gray here on our hairline, right? But, you know, a lot more hair in the back. And your friend might see a gray hair in the back, but 10 years ago, not say, hey, you have a gray hair, because there's no solution. Like you said, you're just saying, hey, I'm aging. But now we see it as, oh, let's open up this conversation. Let's tell someone, because we want someone to feel as if they can be proactive about it and preserve what they have. And, you know, you'll have some people say, well, I want to embrace gray. Well, so do I. I'm embracing gray, you know, but I'm embracing gray at a percentage. It doesn't have to be 100% or 0%. There's so many different levels through that. And it's just where you're comfortable. We want it to look and feel its best.
So if you have a hair that's gone totally gray, can it repigment?
We have in some cases seen that. And so, okay. So actually we'll break it down from the study. So in the study, we saw that of that group that had, you know, less gray hair growth, 39% had repigmentation. And what that means is these clinicians were looking at it and they were actually, you know, counting kind of the hairs in this area. And so that means that a hair strand that was kind of on the fence, looking kind of gray, kind of veering toward white, because we also use white as a determining factor, had, you know, more pigment after and was no longer identified as that. So if you have a patch of hair that is fully white, I am going to say it's not likely. But if you have sporadic graying and some that are, you know, closer to white, we have definitely seen people see those repigment and come back. But we are in the business of and not overpromising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important. And we have new technologies now. I don't know if you are familiar with exosomes and how we can microneedle them into the scalp. And like, there are some truly amazing cases where they can help trigger or reactivate, I think, dormant mesenchymal stem cells that can fully repigment. But there have been some interesting case reports where, people can go from gray to repigmented, which is so unusual.
Yeah. No, and I think that's what we're seeing more within kind of the inside of the world with different, you know, treatments kind of in office. And so I think it's, you know, again, like Allison said, hair dye is going to be like the Botox and, you know, these other treatments that are going to be within your world. And for us, you know, we're just trying to provide great over-the-counter solutions that kind of preserve and kind of best set you up for those other treatments to be most effective.
And Allison, how do you go from taking this amazing idea and then the science and the clinical trials to like getting funding to launch a company like this? Was that a huge process?
This is not my first rodeo. So this is the third startup I've done, 12th company I've been involved in. So I certainly, you know, I'm not new to this game, which helped because I had a lot of connections that were able to get us with a supplement manufacturer that's very established and works with very large brands. They don't normally take on startups, but they believed in what we were doing. And we had people vouching for us and backing us. Same with our cosmetic chemists and the manufacturer that we use for our topical products as well. Large manufacturer does not take startups, but he had been waiting for somebody to create something in this category and create this category. So it was very exciting just to see how many people really rallied behind our idea and really saw the potential. And it's been great. We have amazing institutional investors that believe in what we're doing and help us navigate, you know, certain things. And we have an incredible team now behind us growing the brand. And I think, but central to everything, Jay and I still talk to customers on a daily basis. I mean, that is the most important part of this whole thing is creating great products that can change people's lives. And so we stay very focused on that and not getting too distracted by, you know, potential growth opportunities or things that maybe distract us from the core reason of why we're doing this. And
And the core reason why we're doing this is we want our daughters to have a different solution for their hair at some point. You know, like that's really, I think what sometimes people look at, you know, white space or, you know, space in the market. And, you know, at my core, I'm a product developer that likes to make products that work. And so, you know, I'm used to sitting in a studio and having someone come back 6 weeks later and be like, this did or did not work. And so when you take that ethos and you apply it to what people see as a direct consumer business that has kind of a larger following, that's really at our core is connecting with customers and making, you know, honest products that we use and we want our families to use.
Well, do you think there is definitely this growing movement towards longevity and prejuvenation? How is hair care going to fit in with that?
I think, you know, for years, from the industry that I worked in, hair care was very reactive. I have gray hair, I have dry hair, and they didn't realize that the things that were being prescribed to them were actually making their hair worse. So heat damage, color exposure, using bleach, not using some type of an SPF within your hair care routine was leading you to a place of deterioration that needed to be fixed. And so I think the way in which we look at hair care is very proactive, right? You're going to take these steps of shampooing and conditioning. Well, why don't we have ingredients that are, you know, formulated to promote healthier hair growth, more pigments, right? So that you are not left in a deficit. And realizing too that the scalp ages significantly faster than the skin on our face. And so
that's it. I didn't realize that.
Six times.
Because of the sun and
UV exposure? Sun, UV exposure, bacterial buildup, just the follicle activity, and just in general, the way that we treat it, right? Would you ever put hair dye on your cheek?
Yeah, seriously.
Would you ever scratch your cheek the same way that you scratch the back of your head while you're watching, you know, right. The size of Beverly Hills and all the stress that they cause us? What shampoos did we use when we travel? You would never be like, you know what? Forgot my face wash at home, but I'm going to use this bar of soap instead.
Yeah.
Versus the way that we, you know, access shampoos and think that it's so durable. It's just not.
Yeah. Very true. It's a similar analogy to what we do in skin and derm and plastics. Like we're blasting the skin cells with lasers, needling, and like hair is very aggressive. I feel like you said, they're bleaching, straightening, dyeing, and like it's really aggressive treatment. So I've changed my philosophy to how I approach skin. I want to nourish and nurture the fibroblast, which is the cell that makes collagen and elastin. And like, I really don't believe in using heat energy laser to burn and desiccate and destroy the skin and then let it come back, because there's limited cycles of replication. All of these things have telomeres that have telomere attrition. And the same is true for the hair. You know, the more times the hair has to cycle and go through trauma and repair, like the less vitality is left within that follicle. So I feel like we need to like reinvent our thinking towards how we, you know, blast and restructure and rebuild these tissues.
It starts at a young age too. I mean, I think, again, having an 8-year-old daughter, 10-year-old daughter, you know, an Allison side 7-year-old daughter, you know, we, you know, whether it's like, you know, a tight braid or a tight ponytail, or, you know, again, being in the sun all day and not realizing that level of exposure, it's something that has to kind of be built in early on, because it's these kind of this lack of care for, you know, we prioritize SPF all over the bodies, but, you know, there's these areas that we just kind of leave dormant and not protected. And so I think it's, you know, equally a part of kind of bringing it into earlier care with the future generation, which is what we've seen within skincare. And again, like, so we're trying to, you know, move it just a half inch up into the, you know, the hair care.
Is there a good sunscreen for hair that you recommend, a sun spray for scalp?
We have one. Yep.
Okay. Well, that was a good lead in.
We got you. Live in Mist. And so it contains raspberry seed oil. So it's a natural UVA, UVB protectant. And it's a great just leave-in conditioner that you can apply to the hair and the scalp. I use it on my kids actually on a daily basis. So thinking of all those.
You things. Do that. We also make a hat, because let's just be honest, Dr. K, you know, anything past 15 to 30 minutes of, you know, extreme sun exposure, two things I always say as a trichologist is change your part. So don't keep your hair back the whole time you're in the sun. Change your part around, because we traditionally see people go gray on their natural part or their front hairlines first. And that's because of the continued exposure to the sun. But second to that, when in doubt, put a hat on, because sun exposure is constant. It's relentless. And it, as our hair ages and it degrades, it is then less able to protect against the sun. So it's this kind of big cycle that we spoke about of proactivity.
Do you envision Array kind of becoming part of any in-office protocols, like to bringing it into my office, or how would we integrate it into what we do?
Yeah, we've been working, you know, that's why we've been working so hard on the, you know, kind of clinical studies to make it so that we have a solution that, you know, doctors like yourself, dermatologists and other practitioners feel comfortable to recommend to their patients, just because we realize that, you know, people are coming to you, to hairstylists, and we want to make sure that it starts, you know, with kind of offering these proactive solutions at the point where it's very possible to be effective, as opposed to someone, say, you know, that is 70, 80, 90% white, that is, you know, very hard to reverse and not likely. It's really important that if someone's saying, hey, you know, I think I'd like to try Botox for the first time, or, you know, can you help me about with retinol? Well, yeah. Now, what are you doing for your hair care routine as well?
Honestly, if you're ready for Botox, you're probably ready for some good hair interventions. Are there new things coming in the future that you guys are launching that are super exciting?
Sure. I mean, yeah. So we, like Allison said, we spend a lot of time with our customers on a daily basis. So we have a new product coming at the end of summer, which will be for those with coarser textures, some that have been chemically treated, to really help with conditioning the hair in a way that does not leave it feeling weighed down. Again, always formulated with clean ingredients. And then more exciting kind of as the year comes to a fold is a new topical product that will, we think, be quite groundbreaking in the world of pigment preservation.
That's it. You're not going to tell
That's
me.
All I got to leave you with that. If I say more, I get pinched. I get poked. I'm not allowed to. The lawyers get mad at me. But just know that Array is not stopping with where we are at now. We are constantly looking forward to ways to deal with vitamin and mineral deficiencies, the oxidative stress, and the one thing that I speak to so many people about, which is daily stress. And I know, you know, a psychologist would say, oh, don't stress. Well, that's not really possible in the life that we live. So we have found some great research and some ingredients that will help to address these markers of stress in the future.
That's interesting. More of the psychosocial stress approach.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I talk to a lot of people that are finishing their residency or just finishing having their second child, and they have these monumental stressful events, like you said, going into surgery, which I couldn't even imagine because I get stressed before doing a haircut. And, you know, it's really true. It's like, you know, you take it seriously. But it's these moments that we don't realize. And, you know, all those moments that we are in that stressful state, the hair is, again, not growing at all. It's not pigmented at all. And if the hair's not growing, the pigment is not being pushed into the strand itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. I think those, like, we've all seen bouts of COVID causing extreme hair loss. I know you guys must have seen that in your practices. I've seen it with my clients. That it's been interesting to watch people as they transition through those phases of life, having a baby, getting a divorce. And then, like, you know, going through a COVID, like, these extreme exposures definitely cause hair graying and hair fall. And it's great to have some tools.
And I think to that point, you know, again, postpartum, post-COVID, you know, we see a lot of people that experience telogen effluvium and thought that it was how their hair was going to be forever. But what's so remarkable about the hair, the body, the follicle, the cellular productivity of the hair follicle itself is its ability to regenerate when it is able to and given the appropriate tools. So just like we can see hair start to propagate again and grow back after these, you know, events in our life, it's the same thing with pigment. It's just looking at them as two different mechanisms. One is for growth, and one is going to then be providing, you know, that beautiful color that we all have come to love.
Yeah, I love that. Do you recommend any particular red light? I'm a huge fan of Revion Red. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're really great.
You know, I don't have a specific brand that I look to, but I would say that I looked to sticking to professional grade tools and that are of a higher price point. So I don't have necessarily a specific brand affiliation, but I do totally acknowledge that if you're finding it on Amazon as a deal, that I would be somewhat trepidatious. And I would always recommend speaking to someone like yourself, Dr. K, or a trichologist in your area to see what's right for your specific condition. You know, again, I think red light therapy, though, is wonderful. And also, again, the Ted Alma machine. We have a great trichologist we work here with in San Diego, in Santa Monica, that has been seeing great results. And I do think there's a lot of these non-invasive treatments that can be really helpful, both for just general hair health, but also in combination with products like us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Patients, I think clients or people who are experiencing hair fall and hair shedding, it's always a great idea to start with seeing a physician just in case you need to get blood work done. Like, do you have a thyroid deficiency? Do you have anemia? Do you have vitamin D deficiency? We want to rule out all those things. And looking at sexual hormones and all of that is so important. So I encourage patients, when you're noticing a lot of hair fall and shedding, that's step number one. And often in our office, we're doing a really great injection for a hair follicle stimulator, which is a brand new thing, which I'm so excited about that I want to put that out there in case anybody listening wants to try. Like, you know, there's a spectrum of starting on first your Botox, like you said, first your Start with your hair supplements or something like Array, and then you're going to go one step further, but this is like what we can do that's actually helping with some hair growth.
Before it's too stressful.
Because you're
countering it, you know?
Yeah. Once you've noticed like 30% of your hair is shedded, it's just not coming back. It's like, you know, you're going to see a lot more scalp show. Allison, as a female founder in beauty tech and biotech, what advice would you give to other women who are building science-forward brands like myself?
I would just say surround yourself with great people that you can learn from and that can help you. I think that's really been the benefit of starting this a little bit later in life, right? I'm definitely not a 20-year-old founder is like figuring these things out as I go. I think it's really important to lean on people. That's what's made this possible. I always also say to people who have ideas and are thinking of starting something, I say, if it's something that you would be so upset if you found out somebody else did it and you didn't do it, and it's that feeling of like, oh my God, dread, like I knew I should have done this, then I think that's a pretty good indication that you're onto something pretty great, but it's definitely not for the faint of heart. So, you know, entrepreneurship is a lot of roller coaster ups and downs, but I always say this is still really fun. I wake up in the morning really energized and excited about what we're doing. I think there's so much opportunity still in creating this category and convincing people who are skeptics about what we're doing. It's really exciting. So
yeah,
it really is it is a new category. You guys should be so proud of yourselves. And you have such a good synergy. I can tell that you're so connected and you work well together.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it works, because honestly, I made a lot of products that you've never tried because I made one and I didn't know how to sell them to anybody. So it's really important, to kind of have both sides of that coin. But also it's like, it's super validating to see people that were early, like we just had one of our earliest, you know, believers physically pull a hair out of her head that was half gray and half brown at the root. And you know, and so for us, it's very motivating to see the positive stories that we can help with people. And, you know, there's always going to be naysayers and there's always going to be people that haven't used it appropriately, but we're here calmly because we know that what we've created is kind of backed by a great foundation, you know?
Amazing. How many people have tried Array so far?
Oh my gosh, I think we're now at almost 300,000.
That's excellent. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you have a lot of really positive testimonials, so that's a great shout out to you.
Yeah.
Well, let's end with some hair myths, because there's a lot of them out there. What are some of the biggest hair myths that you, consumer misconceptions about gray hair that you want to shoot down?
I think the biggest one is that hair just goes white overnight. That's a big one for us. It's a big one that I was, you know, again, I was thought that was true and until I actually started to look at it on a really close up level. And so, you know, what we see is people will say, oh, my hair's starting to feel a little ashy, a little flat, a little dull. And they'll use a toner. That'll be like that's the opening point for color. And that is actually your hair graying. And what you realize is that we've become accustomed to say, oh, our skin is changing a little bit. It's a little drier. It's got a little bit of these fine lines and we're going to make an adjustment. So within hair, when you start to see any change, it is likely, you know, it doesn't have to become fully white, but there is this whole process that it goes through of graying. And so there's a lot that can be done when you start to see those changes. What's another myth?
Oh, the genetics one, but we talked about that one.
If you
pull out a hair, you're going to get more gray hairs. True. Yeah,
that is not true. So if you pluck a gray hair, you're not going to see more grow back in its place. It's just that a hair strand, you know, this little keratinized protein, right? When it's short and growing, it's very visible. So what will happen is you will notice them a lot more because they're standing on end as they're growing and trying to, you know, rejoin the rest of your long hair. So if this is the case and this one or two gray hairs is really bothering you, you can always do a little bit of balayage where you paint on a little bit of dye, you know, to kind of cover it, because that's actually going to help it blend better. But the other thing that we found with our products is that our products help to smooth the texture.
Yeah.
So it's really important to prioritize products that help with the textural changes beyond the pigment changes.
I think that's really good advice. And Allison, have you heard any myths that you want to bring up?
I mean, he's the hair expert. I do you want to talk about EBITDA myths? Like, I know I'm kidding. I think those are the ones we see the most.
Yeah.
The other one is like, you have to switch up your hair care regimen to see the best results. And it's actually the opposite. You need to stick to a regimen to see results. That's the biggest pain point for us, is just the consistency and the keeping with it. And, you know, it does take time and it takes consistency to see results. So I think that's another one where I don't know where that started from, but you definitely do not need to switch it up to see results.
I mean, I know where it started from.
It
started in the early 90s when people realized, oh my gosh, we can sell so many products to people. But that's I think a big piece to this, you know, as we move forward is the other side is that, you know, I think I don't know that it's a myth, but that, you know, we are accustomed to hair care products that are for different textures. This is for this and this is for that. But when it comes to our system, right, supplement and the serum, on a cellular level, your body does not know the difference between a brown hair, a red hair, or a blonde hair. It just knows cellular productivity. Now, will that texture be different? Yes, but those cells are going to be fueled in the same way. And so I do think that it's important to note from our study, we tested this on people between the ages of 28 and 65 of all ethnicities. And the result across the board for all of those people was, you know, 13% less gray hair in the active group, 88% of people had less gray hair growth overall. And that for us was really important validating tool. Now, we're making another conditioner later this year. That conditioner is for different textures. Great. But on a cellular level, it's all the same.
This has all been so fascinating. I'm really glad to have met you guys. And how can people who are interested to try Array reach out to you and order your products? And
Yeah, we just recently have array.com, which is very exciting. So you can find us there. Our original website was arraygray.com. Can I give out I don't want to give out your email with that.
No, I'll give it out. So array.com.
Or your Instagram. And Array is spelled A-R-E-Y.
That's right. I was going to do that just to make sure. But I offer personalized consultations of anybody that would like to, just because for us, you know, Dr. K, I'm sure if someone comes in and says, hey, I had this treatment and it didn't work, that's tough. I would love for someone to know what they're getting into. So jay@areygrey.com. You can just say consultation in the subject line and I will do my best to respond and join a Zoom so that we can help you better understand your hair health.
Wow, that's so generous of you. I'm sure a lot of people will take you up on that.
They do.
It's busy. We're also in Credo, so that we're a clean brand. So that's one of the retailers we're at. We're at Erewhon here in Los Angeles. We're on Amazon. So you can find us in multiple places.
And maybe soon in doctor's offices. We'll see.
Exclusively in Dr. K's office.
Exclusive.
And Allison, what's your Instagram handle? Do you want to share that?
Oh gosh, I am not on social, but Array is, but yeah, right?
Array.
Oh, just Array.
No, at Array Gray. So AreyGrey. We have great social posting in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Well, you guys have been a great interview. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. And I hope that so many people out there will change their perspective on how they look at their hair and, you know, the preservation that we need to do, like put in the hard work early so we have good, strong, healthy hair for a long time.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate the platform, Dr. K, and what you're doing for patients and for, you know, people that are interested. So thank you so much for letting us share our story.
It's my pleasure. And don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And that's where you can find me doing amazing things with people's faces. Reach out if you're interested in our hair follicle stimulator injection. And also just start taking care of yourself, because this life is too short. We need to invest in who we are in the future right now. Yep. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.